In Acts 5, and in context here, of course, they've taken some of the apostles into custody, if you will. And they're pretty mad at Peter. They're mad at the things going on. And Gamaliel, in Acts 5, in around verse 35, 36, he tells of those that claim they had a work of God, but then they watched the destruction, and it came to naught. That's what he used in verse 36. He said, it brought to naught. And then he tells of Judas of Galilee and threw people after, and then he perished. And so he has some wisdom, and he says, now I say to you, refrain from these men, let them alone, for this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. And then he said this, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found, not happily, but haply, ye be found even to fight against God. I want to preach this morning on this thought. How to discern the things that be of God or not. There are things in the Bible that speaks of happenstance. There are things that speak of chance. There are occasions, not every person you see broken down is the will of God. You stop and change their tire and God ordained this meeting. But there are the things that take place in life such as that. My wife and I can tell one just even recently. We were in Pennsylvania, and when her father was real sick with cancer, we had considered possibly her mother and father and us finding a place that had an in-law apartment where we could help take care of her father. So we went to look at this home, and we met a family there, a very large family, and in doing so, they started to attend the church. It wasn't but about a year ago that they didn't stay with our congregation, but they moved over the mountain. They started attending Ricky Black Jr.'s church, Manassas Community Baptist Church. Two Sundays ago, Brother Black sent me a text, and I called him in Sunday night. And the father of this family, turns out, had gotten saved 2 weeks ago.
Man.
Lived for 40 couple years. As a religious lost man, had no idea he was lost. And God, the last several weeks, had begun to reveal to him his lost condition. And he professed before the congregation with much tears, much chagrin, that he'd been converted to Christ. So at that point, you stop and you say, you know, it wasn't by chance that we met this family.
Right.
You know, if it had not have been us, it could have well. So don't, all the McVeighs were great people. No, it's not that. It could have been somebody else could have met them. When God had put us in their lives, God had put us in their paths, God had brought this thing full circle, but now the father, and then one of the daughters, I guess, made a profession of faith last week, and again, we'll just watch the family, see how things go, and if it falls apart, well, you know, we'll know that God's still working in the family. And so we try to discern the things that are of God, and how to discern these things that are of God. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll probably start in verse 10 and read several verses. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. The things of God knoweth no man. In our text in Acts, he said, let's basically in context, let's let this come to pass, see if it come to naught, and we'll know whether or not this thing was of God.
Good.
How's that going to be revealed? It's going to be revealed by the Spirit of God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's liberty to understand. There's liberty to grasp. There's liberty to, not just in preaching, but in instruction, liberty to receive truth. And so he tells us that these things come of the Spirit of God. We can't discern these in our own thinking. This isn't an intellectual ascent. It's the Spirit of God that gives us wisdom in these things. Now we received, in verse 12, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Stay here, mark your place, and let's go to Isaiah 28. And I read a passage I use often, but it gives a definition and understanding of the Spirit of God comparing spiritual with spiritual. How do we make these comparisons? And that's what he's saying. There's a comparison here. Man's thinking compares the thinking of man with things that are of man. It's easy to grasp things that come from men. Because what? In our altogether natural state, we can think like a man. And of mankind in that sense. Ladies, you think like mankind. Men, you think like mankind. You're trying to grasp things with your mind that only a man can know because of the things that are in a man, a woman. When the Spirit of God begins to give understanding, the Holy Ghost begins to compare spiritual with spiritual, Isaiah tells us on this wise. In verse 10 of Isaiah 28, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little.
Right.
So the Holy Ghost is taking a little bit here and a little bit there, and he's bringing them together, and he does it through two methods. Line upon line. That is literally in sequence, in order. You go down through the passage, line upon line. God reveals the truth of the Word of God, line upon line. But then he said precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. There are precepts in the Bible that aren't necessarily line upon line, but you can grasp them because you get a little bit here and a little bit here. If you want understanding of how to be a godly lady, you don't just go line upon line in hopes that maybe, you know, line upon line will teach you how to be a godly lady. There's precepts for ladies. Proverbs 31 is a great example of the precept. Titus 2 is understanding of elder teaching the younger how to be ladies. There's some precept there. We see in 1 Peter, I believe it's in chapter 2, deals with how to become a lady, how to present yourself as a lady. The Old Testament ladies, and there were some ladies in the Old Testament, some harlots in the Old Testament. You can learn from both, but precept must be upon precept. The Holy Ghost of God teaches these things.
Right.
Here a little bit, there a little bit. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet. We don't just look at covetousness and blow it off. No, we look at the precepts of covetousness. We look at Judah, who lay with his own daughter-in-law. Why? Because being filled with lust, he wanted to entertain a woman. She feigned to be a harlot, and he went unto her, and he laid with her. There is a precept in the negative. We see in Proverbs 6, that young man, we'll talk about that in a little bit, who I believe it's might be Proverbs 5, Proverbs 7, somewhere in there. That young man that went down by the way of the harlot's house, and he said, I perceived that this young man, he was in trouble.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Bible tells us about the attire of a harlot, the place of a harlot, the home of the harlot. And all these things come together. That's precept upon precept, line upon line. And he said, here a little, there a little. It's how we read the Bible. It's how we study the Bible. But can I say to you, only the Holy Ghost can put those pieces in order in your heart.
What?
Intellectually, you might grasp them. I know people that are separated as far as their outward. They have dress right, clothing right, actions right. They pull away from all these worldly things, yet they cannot understand the inward workings of the things of God. They're trying to obtain a level of spirituality to the works of the flesh. That's the spirit of man, the natural man. So he goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Holy Ghost teacheth comparing spiritual things with spiritual. How does he do that? Line upon line, precept upon precept. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The pastor is the instructor. He's a teacher. Be apt to teach. The servant of the Lord must teach. Brother Zach is a teacher in the church. The evangelists, visitors come in, they teach, they instruct. But not everybody grasps it the same way. Why? You have division. Could this be carnality? You just can't grasp because you're tired, you're weary, you're bitter, you're angry, you're jealous. grieve the Spirit of God, you're not going to be able to receive spiritual things. Could just be your mind is somewhere else, you can't focus on the things of God. And then there's folks that are spiritual, that the Holy Ghost of God begins to teach them, instruct them in the things of God. It's not just the man that's speaking, it's the Holy Ghost being our teacher. And so God takes an interest in our learning and applies these things. The Spirit of God will come upon us in instruction and open our ears to hear, to receive, and teach us what He wants to teach us. See, as I present the Word of God to you this morning, there's things that I want to make a point to try to get across. But what God's going to do to those that are spiritual is He's going to take that and make a spiritual application to you individually. I can make a statement as a broad brush across the congregation. What the Lord's trying to do is trying to apply this to you spiritually on a personal level.
Right.
As a young convert, I'd run down to the altar, and the pastor would, the evangelist maybe would come in and preach a certain message. And I remember one time that he preached a message, a guy preached it to rock music. And all the young people ran down to the altar and they're confessing about their sin of listening to rock music. And they're, oh, I'm so sorry, God. I can't listen to rock music. That's why I said, I'm going to throw my CDs away. And they had a big bonfire, and they burned their CDs. Well, most of them aren't in church today. Why? Because they didn't really get rid of their rock music. They just felt bad because the preacher preached a message. But across the board, universally, that's how they took it, because that's what he taught. Meanwhile, there were spiritual folk there that the Lord was not only dealing about rock music, the Lord was dealing with them about other music, and dealing with them about the movies they watched, the content that they're looking at, and the things they're looking at. Why? Because the Spirit of God was taking the thrust of the message, the Word of God, and He's taking line upon line, precept upon precept, and in that precept, preaching against rock music, it covers a whole gamut of music and entertainment and ungodliness that will apply to your soul if the Spirit of God is able to have a receptive vessel. But we must be willing to receive it. For he says, the natural man, us in our natural state, in our best condition, we cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. And he said this, neither can he know them, they're foolishness unto him, rather, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Why cannot we discern the things that are of God and the things that are of the flesh? Because they are spiritually discerned. I want to cover discernment just for a few minutes, and I want to go back to really the first mention, Genesis 27. I want to look at this word, so take your Bibles, please, and follow with us. If you want to grasp this, understand what we're trying to teach, then you need to follow with the Bible. Lay your eyes on the verses, commit them to paper, commit them to your heart, commit them to what God has for you. But I just want to look at discernment for just a few minutes. Why there's no discernment of things that are of the Lord? Why can't we discern whether these things are of God? In Genesis 27, and verse 23. You know the story most likely. We'll just cover it briefly. I just want to read the verse. It's speaking of Isaac near his death. Jacob comes in. Jacob is covered with the goat's hair. He has brought an offering, pretended he was Esau. He's a great deceiver. He is the supplanter. He comes before his father. Isaac cannot tell that it's Jacob. And this is what he said. And he discerned him not. Because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. I want to say to you, first and foremost, discernment involves rightly identifying the facts. You must rightly identify truth. The problem with people that have no discernment, by the way, I have known people in my life that have absolutely no discernment. Most of them are habitual liars. Because they cannot tell the truth.
Right.
If you say the sky is blue, they'll argue with you. If you tell them the macadam is hot, they'll argue with you. Why? Because a habitual liar cannot see the truth, because he sees life through the eyes of a liar. A thief is paranoid about everybody stealing from him. Right. Why? Because he himself is a thief. And he sees his world through the eyes of a thief. An adulteress, an adulterer, always thinks everybody else is doing what they do because they're seeing the world through the eyes of adultery. And therefore they cannot discern correctly because there's no truth. Jacob is willfully deceiving his father. Isaac cannot tell it's Jacob. He has no idea why, because he took the only facts he could discern in his old age, and we'll deal with that in just a minute with the old age. But as he got older, he could only discern a few things. He felt his hairy arms. He knew the voice wasn't right, but his ears have dimmed. He's a very old man. So he took the evidence he had, and he made a wrong decision because he discerned falsely based on the evidence he had. Now, I'm not going to condemn Isaac. I'm not going to tear down Isaac. He's an old man. He was willfully being deceived. You hear of people all the time, older folks that get deceived by con men and contractors, and they're going to seal their driveway and patch their roof and fix their porch, and you know, and they just bilk people out of thousands of dollars. Why? Because they don't have all the facts. They're confused and they're aged by the facts, and so they're presented to them. They trust people. Isaac trusted his sons. It's not Isaac's fault his son was a deceiver. But he couldn't discern right because he didn't have the evidence that he needed. Secondly, in Genesis 38, if you'll turn there with me. And again, we're going to look at discernment again through the eyes of a passage I already spoke of earlier. In verse 24 of Genesis 38, it came to pass about 3 months after, it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot, and also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth, and let her be burnt. When she was brought forth, she said to her father-in-law, saying, by the man whose these are, am I with child? And she said, discern, I pray thee. Whose are these, the signet and bracelets and staff? And Judah acknowledged them, and said, she hath been more righteous than I. The evidence was given to Judah. The proof was given to Judah. The signets and the staff belong to Judah. When she shows them to him, he said, surely she has been more righteous than I. She has feigned the harlot. Why is Judah going into a harlot? So he took the truth. He took the evidence. Looked at the hard evidence that was given to him. And he discerned that these were indeed his. How did he discern that? He saw them. Touched them. Recognized them. Said, you know what? These are mine. This girl's been more righteous than me. She's played the harlot, but I myself have been foolish. There's evidence that helps us discern things. But you have to see it through the eyes of God. And to do that, you need the Holy Ghost. Next verse in 2 Samuel chapter 19.
Good preacher.
The Bible begins to identify and tells us a little bit more about some areas where we can discern. In 2 Samuel 19 and verse 35, here again, Barzillai has come to the king. He's an old man. He's 80 years old. He's 80 years old. And we see again, age has caused his senses to be diminished. In verse 35, I am this day 80 years old. And can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden to my lord the king? He said, I'm old. My senses are diminished. What are the senses? The 5 senses that God gives every man. I can't see. I can't discern good and evil. I can't taste. I can't even hear the singing. Discernment involves dealing with the evidence that's before you, but it also involves your senses to look at that evidence and make the right decision. Why can't we discern the things that are of God? 1 Kings chapter 3, just a couple pages, it should be. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. Solomon is praying, and he asks this of the Lord, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad." Now, let's build the case on this evidence. I can see, I can hear, I can taste, I can touch, I can smell. I have all of my senses. I can look at the evidence. I can look at the truth. So he said, "Lord, give me an understanding heart. Help my heart to be receptive, to believe the truth I see, to receive the truth I need, and then to discern." He said, "I want to discern between good and bad." Now, I'm going to ask you this, church, where's the gray area? I hear all the time about these gray areas, but I've never seen one in the Bible.
Right.
Gray is not a color you find in the Bible. It's black, it's white. Discernment, Spurgeon, they said, I never followed Spurgeon much, I never heard him preach. Spurgeon said, discernment is not necessarily for the things that are the obvious. Discernment is for the things that are very hard to understand. Discernment is to take those little things that we don't fully understand and try to put them in their rightful place in our life to know whether or not it's pleasing to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Some things are obvious. Lying, stealing, adulteries, fornications. They're obvious things. That old covetousness, that old wicked heart that wants, jealousies, bitterness, envy, strife, wrath, malice, heresy, seditions, murders. All of those things are obvious things.
Right.
You don't need a lot of discernment. You just need to be honest. That's the difference. If you'll be honest about those things, you don't need a lot of discernment to figure out whether they're good or bad. Solomon saying, "Lord, help me to discern me. Help me to know good and bad. Give me an understanding heart that I can see these things, whether they're good, whether they're bad, and how they're going to impact other people."
Mm-hmm.
Job chapter 6 and verse 30. Job 6 and verse 30, Job is answering here. And he gets a little bit of that picture of the senses again when he says, "Is there iniquity in my tongue?" And then he said, "Cannot my taste discern perverse things?" How do you know something's bad? Well, sometimes you got to taste.
Mm-hmm.
I try to make a habit of it. I've spit food out. I've spit food out in restaurants. I don't think I've ever had to spit food out in somebody's home. At least I was not able to make too much of a show of it. I was able to at least get into my napkin or under the plate or in the potted plant, something to get rid of it. Why? Because there's just something foul. Job said, "Cannot my tongue discern? Can I not take the evidence that's there?" And by the way, those of you with children, you understand, you put that spoonful of whatever's in there. When it goes down, you're like, what do? You're making a discerning decision. You're saying, you know what? Okay, baby likes this. It went right down, baby's smiling. It comes right back out. How do you discern that? Baby doesn't like this. It's pretty simple. You realize discernment is that simple. It's looking at the evidence, taking your senses. And we talked about that here many years ago.
Right.
But taking your senses and discerning, making a decision with the evidence that's there. Is this good or is this bad? Is this right or is this wrong? If you would, let's go to Proverbs 7, verse 7. Proverbs 7, verse 7. I want you to look at this with me. "I beheld among the simple ones," he says, "I discerned among the youths a man, young man void of understanding." Now, I want you to look at this. How did he discern this? Well, I want you to look at verse 6. He looked through his casement. Now, I want you to look at the evidence. I want you to look, before you get self-righteous, say, he didn't judge right. You're not supposed to judge people. This is the Word of God, and it's a truth, and it's all true. And he judged it correctly because look at the evidence that he had to discern this with. "I beheld among the simple ones a young man void of understanding." Here's how I discerned that. "Passing through the street near her corner."
Mm.
Well, who's her corner? Look at verse 5. The strange woman. He knows the strange woman lives down there. Now let me ask you this. It's 2 o'clock in the morning on a Friday night, Saturday morning. Your car with your license plate is down in the ghetto of Winston-Salem. And you don't have any friends, any family, nobody you know lives there. I'm going to the real ghetto. Amen. The north side. Y'all happy? Your car is sitting on the street and somebody goes by and sees your car and says, well, that's odd. I wonder what Brother Vernon's car is doing there. Well, based on his testimony, his lifestyle, I would assume, well, he's probably visiting somebody that needs some help. But then you see Brother Vernon, he's in, you know, lackadaisical clothes. He's got his little boy britches above his knees. And, you know, he's got his thug gangster outfit. He's got his hat on backwards. And you're going, yeah, I don't want to judge wrong, but there's something wrong with this picture. And you see him running out the cars, and he's slapping skin with the brothers, and he runs up to a car, and he runs back, and he's tucking stuff down his pants, and he's out there. And the next day, you see him at church, he's got a big gold medallion on his neck, he's got new gold chain. Can I say, somewhere along that line, reality's going to set in.
Right.
Something's wrong.
Sorry, buddy.
We've gotten so anti-judgmental that we won't judge the facts that do come before us. We won't judge them with honesty. We won't judge them with integrity.
Sir.
Why? We don't have equity.
Mm-hmm.
We're not fair. We can't balance this out. And God's trying to show us facts about us, but we are in denial about it. Now you say, this young man went down to where the strange woman was, and he said this. He went through the street near her corner, and he didn't stop. He didn't go, okay. He went through the street near her corner. Yep, that's a bad boy. No. He went to her house. Can I say to you, I'm not trying to be funny, but this is before door-to-door salesmen. This is before Craigslist. You know, there's a reason he was going to the house of the strange woman.
Mm-hmm.
And he discerned this with what? His eyes.
Right.
He watched.
Sir.
I know this world is against stereotyping, but I say to you, stereotyping is a very real thing. Culture creates a stereotype. I told him this week I got saved out of the redneck culture. I'm not a redneck anymore. Why? Because redneck culture was catfishing all night, shooting shotguns, shooting off fireworks and burn barrels, you know, destroying the whole campsite. You run to me out of the campground, you know, drinking beer, sitting on the porch, getting in fights. That's a redneck culture. I got saved out of that. I don't do that anymore. None of that.
Right.
I do like some fireworks in a barrel once in a while, but my wife's not real big on that, so we don't get into that a whole lot. There's a culture. I was a walking stereotype. If you had seen me down at the Five and Dime store, down at the convenience store, you'd be like, yep, that guy's a redneck. Why? Because you can see with your eyes, you can discern some things just looking. You can see things that you go, you know what, this just, this isn't just a perception, this is a reality.
Right.
But we live in denial. And can I say, for us, we live in denial about self. Yes. There's these glaring, obvious things that we can't see them in ourselves. And if we went around here and we asked people in this room, if there's some of you, if you went through and said, I want everybody in this room to tell me a fault I have. And if 9 out of 12 people showed you one of those faults, and they all 9 said the same thing, those people in this room go, no, that's just not true.
That's right.
But 9 people see it. 9 people hear it. 9 people pick up on it. You go, oh, no, that's not me. Why? No discernment. No discernment. You don't need someone to toot your horn if you're right with God. You don't need anybody to promote you and to pat you on the back and tell you how great you are. If you're right with God, you don't need that.
Right.
Let me move on. He's seeing and discerning. Ezekiel 44. Ezekiel 44 and verse 23 gives another look at discernment, and it's very brief. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And I know the Old Testament law, people just do away with it, they throw it away, it's flippant. Do you realize the Old Testament law, precept upon precept, line upon line, gives us clear understanding of uncleanness in our lives?
Sir.
There are things that are just unclean. And he said, I'm going to teach discernment. I'm going to teach you to be able to look, hear, taste, touch, smell, and look at these things and see, yes or no, are these good or are these evil?
Right.
Are they holy or are they unholy? It's not a gray area. It's not this area where I can kind of slide in and say, you know, I mean, I know it's not the best thing, but I don't think God's real displeased. Either God's pleased or he's displeased. Either holy or it's unholy. It's either clean or it's unclean. There's not a gray area in your life. And if you have to question, can I say this? I've learned in my own life. If you have to question it, it's probably unholy until you figure it out. Why would you keep questioning? Why would you even take a chance on offending God? If you're questioning why can't we do this? Why can't we do this? Why can't we? And you're questioning those things. It's a deeper problem a lot of times. Rick Terry's son, he went to be up there in Michigan. I think you were there that day, I think, when he talked about the short pants. I know you don't remember yesterday, but we're up there, and his son comes down. He's complaining. He goes, the girls can wear those culottes right at their knee. They said the boys got to wear pants in the gym. That's just not fair. His dad said, what's not fair about it? He goes, why can't I wear shorts to the knees? The girls can wear culottes to the knees. I stepped in. I said, nobody wants to see your ugly legs. That's why.
Hey, man, your knees are ugly.
You know what his problem was? He felt like he was cheated because he couldn't discern.
That's right.
That he just needed to be holy.
Sir.
You need to step up and just be a man. Couldn't discern it.
It's good.
Didn't have understanding. When he left, he still didn't have understanding. Amen. Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. The Bible said this in 11, he said, should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more 64,000 persons, they cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. What is he talking about? He's talking about Gentiles in their natural state. He goes, they can't discern between their right hand and their left hand. Why? I believe what he's saying in context, they don't know where their strength comes from. Which hand do you use? I don't know if it's my right or my left. Literally, they're so spiritually blind, they cannot take the facts and understand what hand is right, what hand is left. It's a biblical precept. Why? Because they just will not receive truth. The Lord says, should I not love them? Should I not care for them? People that have no discernment, no understanding. The Lord says, should I not still love them in their state? As much as he loves Noah, or much as he loved Jonah, rather, should he not spare Nineveh, this great city? Should not God have mercy on those that cannot discern? I promise you this, he's had mercy on those that cannot discern. Until we can look and see things through spiritual eyes, we're not going to be able to discern spiritual things. It's all rules. It's all regulations. The Bible said this in 1 Corinthians in our text, it's all foolishness until we get discernment. I'm not boasting to say the fact that he's dropped 2.5 hours to church, did it for 5 years. 2 times a week, so that's 3 times a week. So 2.5 hours each way to church. People all the time would tell me, say, you know, why don't you just find a closer church? I said, well, that's where God put me. That's what the Lord put me. On the other hand, but the heart was always saying, why don't you move down here? Come on, move on down here. I said, praise God, I don't have wisdom for God to move. I need to keep driving. I think he got tired of giving gas when he felt bad for me. Amen. He said, why don't you move on down here? Just move down here. Come on, move on down. Well, when the church closed down, I'm glad I didn't live there. God put us in the church 24 and a half minutes up the road from our house. But I had to discern those things. I had to know where God wanted me. I had to know when God wanted me. It's not just in the knowing how, but when, it's the timing of what God wants. Folks can't discern these things. Malachi chapter 3, verse 18. I just got two, three more verses after that. And we'll start the message. Malachi 3, 18. I just want to throw that out there in case some of you are getting excited because we're done. He said, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. And then he categorizes them again between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. God lumps them in the same category, doesn't he? He said, here's the righteous, here's the wicked. Here's him that serve God, here's them that don't serve God. It's just that simple. Now I'm going to teach you how to discern these. I'm going to teach you how to look at the evidence, feel the evidence, smell the evidence, touch the evidence, and you will know those that love me. And I'll teach you that.
My dad.
Hebrews chapter 5. We're almost done turning, for those of you that get weary looking in your Bibles. Hebrews 5, verse 14. The strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We saw Isaac use his touch. We saw the man of Proverbs use his eye. We see Jonah, as the Lord speaks to him, hearing the voice of God. We see aged men, aged folks, using their senses to discern good and evil. God gave you your senses not for your pleasure. Let me reiterate that. God gave you your senses not for your pleasure, but to discern good. How many people dead today because they did not hear the train horn? They did not hear the trucker's horn. How many bicyclists did not hear the car horn?
Right.
It could have been the wind in their ears. It could have been their hard of hearing. It could be they had hearing aids. It could be they had their music too loud. How many people are dead today because they could not see or they would not see? I know multiple people had car accidents where they said, you know, the sun showed in my eyes, I couldn't see, or something blinded me, I could not see. The sun was setting, I could not see. I'm sorry, I didn't see you. We're going to Mar to visit a family. 25-year-old husband, father of three, passed away. His widow, I believe, is 26 years old. It said in the newspaper, the 18-year-old that hit him said, I just didn't see him. Through the speed, through the rolling down the road, no thought given to it. He was not prepared for a car to stop and be turning left in front of him. So he makes a split-second judgment, swerves into the other lane, but what did he not do? He did not look first. Bob Bowen told me of a story right there by their house. These two little old ladies are in a pickup truck right in front of Bob. And Bob said he heard the train whistle, he could see the train, and he said right before the train hit him, he said, oh no, they didn't look! 250 yards down the railroad track, Bob had to run down. He said he ran up the accident, looked, and ran back to his truck, just waited for the coroner to come. Why, they didn't look. They didn't listen. People die because they will not use their senses. Every year in America, I just saw this recently, over 50 people die from eating poisonous mushrooms. Most of them are Asian. They go to California, they go to Oregon, they go to Washington State, they go up in the hills, and they go, oh, that looks like what we eat at home. They pop it in their mouth, they take it home, cook it for their family. They get horribly sick, the elderly die, children die. They didn't exercise their senses. People eat bad food. You can't always tell it's bad. I thought I was going to literally throw out my intestines in Philadelphia. I think it's part of that holy coli, eating salad, and I told my wife, I said, what I get for eating salad. I learned a lesson from that. You couldn't tell it was in there. It was foul. It was vile. But when Elisha was over there, and he said, they said, the man of God, he said, there's poison in the pot. How do they know there's poison in the pot? They can taste it. Evil's on every hand, and danger's on every hand, and yet we will not open our senses to receive what God has for us in a spiritual sense. You can see things are evil. You can hear things are evil. You can smell things that are evil. I told him the other night, I said, my wife's got that built-in Jezebel detector. Some got bothered by this. Some of them highbrow folk kind of got a little snooty. There's a couple of visitors there. I said, one of the first things my wife can detect, she can smell her. And I made fun of her. I said, $75 a bottle of smell like that. You got to be kidding me. My wife, sometimes she'll put a little perfume behind her ear. You know, she puts just enough on for her husband to smell it. She puts on just enough makeup her husband can see it.
It's good.
I like it.
And then she wears her clothes to bed that only her husband will see.
It's good.
Not out in public. But you know what happens? You discern these things. You say something's not right. What is the point I'm trying to make? Jezebel's using a man's senses to attract him. Has it ever occurred to people that are so hooked in all this filth and ungodliness that the airbrush does wonders for people? I'll be honest, I could pose in a magazine, and I could get, you know, Paint Pro and trim me down, and I'd get an airbrush and paint some abs and, you know, pose. And you're like, man, how did their Tim McVeigh look like that? He doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
But we can't discern that. We have no discernment because we won't use the senses, God. We try to ascertain everything on a spiritual level without using our senses to determine. They say this, oh, I just felt God. Well, you'll feel God in this because he's holy. And if you're in tune with holiness, you'll know it's God.
That's right.
But what happens now is churches feed on worldliness. And they say, this is God.
That's right.
We met with God today. They don't feel it in their soul. They feel it in their flesh. And I'm just being honest with you. Exercise is euphoric. They call it the runner's high. For some of us, it's awful. But I used to actually run until about 7 years ago. When I hurt my knee, I'd run 3-4 miles 3 times a week, believe it or not. I was 300 pounds. Kind of stupid of me. Learned my lesson. That's why my knee blew out. But I get that runner's high. Sometimes I'd run 4.5-5 miles in the winter. Man, I'd just be euphoric. I feel so good. Well, if you go to church and dance for half an hour, or an hour, or an hour and a half, you're going to feel good. I used to go to them concerts, man. I'd leave feeling good, man. All the lights and the music, and man, we'd be dancing. And I don't mean dancing. We'd like slamming into each other, banging our heads against people, and, you know, punching people. You know, you feel good. It's not a feeling based on emotion.
That's right.
To know him is to know him in spirit and in truth, because it's to worship him in spirit and in truth. And he said that these senses have been given to us, we exercise them. That means we use them. And by the way, it is a practice like any other exercise. It's a practice. And sometimes you're going to fail, sometimes you're going to falter. But then as you begin to learn, you begin to trust your senses to discern good and evil. David the psalmist said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. Why? Because he didn't want his senses to be in tune with wickedness. Some of you might have got, I think I sent a couple of you that picture of the biker church the other day. And I just make fun of it. Garbage, and it is garbage. It's just so stupid. It's on, but it's not a real church because they don't even have. They meet on Friday night, and they're an outreach to the bikers of the community. It's not even a real church. You know, a real church is a body, and that's not a body. It's phony. It's a lie. It's fraudulent. But you know, they'll be packed out. There'll be bikers there. They come in and be like, yeah, man, we were at church Friday night, man. You know, man, we love church. I love the Lord. You know, all that foolishness. But can you not discern good from evil? Can you not see that and see there's nothing good in that?
Right.
And why can't you see it? Because you close your eyes and you don't want to see, because there might be some things you're involved in that to condemn it would condemn you.
Right.
So you refuse to see. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What does the word of God do? It discerns the thoughts and the intents of your heart. The Word of God will discern what you plan to do. That's why, by the way, that's why He made a way of escape in a time of temptation, because He knows you're going to plan it. The Word of God knows you're going to plan it. It's the intent of your heart. And God can stop you in your tracks if you can spiritually discern things that are of Him. I say God can stop you in your tracks.
Right.
But it's your choice. You have to be willing to stop. The Word of God comes, the Spirit of God bears witness and bears record of the Word of God. And as the Word of God cuts deep into the marrow of the bone, God will divide you, God will sift you, God will sort you. He will divide the very being of your thoughts, the very being of the intents of your heart. And let me tell you how God divides them. Good, evil. Holy, unholy. God will discern those things in our hearts. We can't hide and we can't run because God has discerned them in us. God has separated them in us. He will show us in the Word of God, this is unholy, this is holy, this is unclean, this is clean, this is unrighteous, this is righteous. God will sort them out in our hearts. If we heed the Spirit of God. See, the Holy Ghost compares spiritual with spiritual. He doesn't compare your works of the flesh with the Bible, with Scripture, with the Word. He doesn't say, okay, here's what you did today, and here's what the Bible says. Let me discern between these two actions. No. This is what the Word said, and this is right. And what you're doing is wrong. There's no gray area. It's black and white. We're not going to push this thing to the end and find out whether or not we were wrong at the end of this thing. No, He's going to try to do it now while we're living. He wants to sort the things out in our life, show us good, show us wrong, show us the Scripture, and show us when we're contrary to Scripture, when we're against the things of God. And God is trying to sort those out in our life. And He uses the Word of God to do it. That's why some people run from Word of God.
Right.
They'll say something like this. I can't tell the difference anyway. I don't know the difference anyway. I've tried this and there's nothing different. I tried this and nothing's different. I prayed this and nothing's different. I went through this and nothing's different. But when did you pick up the Scriptures and lay them on your heart? Would you take the Word of God and apply it to your heart? Let the Holy Ghost compare spiritual with what's in here. Because you compare spiritual with spiritual. So if we think we're spiritual, we have all this spirituality just oozing out of us. What he's doing, he's saying, you're spiritual, there's the heart. There's the spiritual, there's the heart. Here's what's right. Here's you. And he's drawing that comparison in us, through us. He's washing us from within. He's trying to purge us from within. What he's doing is using our senses to discern those things. You realize you can sometimes, not always, but you can look in the mirror, know if you're right with God. Don't get all mystical on me. You can just look at your countenance sometimes, you know. You can look at your attire and know if you're right with God sometimes.
That's right.
You can hear whether or not you're right with God.
That's right.
All that blasphemy comes out of your mouth and then cleanness is going to come out. No, you hear it. Out of this fountain ought not come bitter sweet and sweet waters. No, it ought not to be so. They don't have to be profaning and then holiness come out of the same mouth. I told him at church the other night, I was mocking. I said, you all, when you bless. I said, hey, listen, look at face, appreciate your blessings. I said, if you're going to talk sewer with that same mouth, you just shut up with the blessings.
That's right.
Why? Because the sewer ought not come out where drinking water comes out. You ought to be able to hear it. When you're just downright mean to people, you ought to hear it. Your senses can discern a lot of this in yourself.
That's right.
Can I use a physical application? I'm being funny. I'm being serious. You ever been sitting somewhere, maybe a public place, a bus, airport, car, church? And you raise your hand, you move something, you go, and you're like, oh, goodness. My wife went in the bathroom. She carries that little stick in her purse. She'll put it on no matter what, you know. She puts it on like 9 times a day just to make sure.
God bless you.
Maybe it's ever happened to you all. Right? Maybe you don't care. I care. Maybe you don't. I don't know how many times I've been like, even in church. Remember that? Yeah, what do you want? We're in church. And I finally just said, honey, do I stink? She's like, no. So, you know, me being so explicit, is it you? She's like, no. I'll just check. I saw a video clip a couple weeks ago, a guy at a baseball game. They showed this all over the internet. He's at a baseball game. I showed my wife. He's sitting in the stands behind home plate. He goes like, he has tank top on. He goes, they caught him on camera. Somebody picked him out and busted him. It didn't take it. We're sitting there in church, and finally, I decided, it's not my wife, it's not me. But you know what happens? Then I start looking around at other people. I wonder who it is. Somebody needs help. The problem is we got it spiritually backwards. We smell something foul, we go, must be somebody else.
Oh boy.
It's not me. You see, we take that examination and we reverse it.
Sorry, buddy.
Oh, the preacher must be talking about somebody else in here, not me. Whereas if we had discernment, we'd do the old arm check first.
Sorry, buddy.
That's an assertion that the guy actually said. He stood up and he said, I'm glad I'm not the one grieving God in here. And we're sitting there going, you just did. Are you kidding? Nobody was grieving God until you stood up and ran your mouth. But why can't you hear if there's no discernment? Why can't you perceive if there's no discernment? Because we will not examine self first. And if we would judge ourselves, be judged of no man. We will not judge ourselves. That's what he tells us. Because we won't judge ourselves, we cannot compare spiritual with spiritual. All we have is our carnal desires to compare to spiritual things. So this is how it stacks up. Here's what the Word of God says. But here's what I do. And I promise you this, church, you can live by this Word. And I'm not saying it's easy. And I'm not saying it's simple. I'm not saying it's a short process either. It's a lifetime of changes, a lifetime of repentance, a lifetime of adapting your life. You can live by this book.
That's right.
But you got to see it. You have to realize what I'm doing, how I'm living, the things I say, the things I see, the things I touch, the things I smell, the things I relate to. These things are not of God. Therefore, if these things I'm doing be not of God, and the life I'm living is not of God, could it possibly be that because I'm not of God? And discern that is the greatest discernment of all. Am I a child of God? Do I have the Son? Do I have eternal life? Do I have the Spirit of Christ? Do I have the Spirit whereby I cry, Abba, Father? Do I have that in me? Do I have that? The Bible tells me I don't. But I just can't discern me because I will not be fair to myself. You know that really, really bad illustration, worse than my other ones. Husbands, you know the drill. It doesn't matter what was the adjective she uses. Do I look, and just fill in the blank in this dress? That skinny, ugly, weird, you know. Does this fit? I mean, just fill in the blank. Any adjective you want to. How many of y'all are honest? Men? Well, Zach, thank you. You're such a good Christian. Honey, does this look all right? And you got to figure out how a nice way to say no. Or a nice way to say yes. Or you'd be like, oh, come, yes, it's fine for the 10th time. Let's go. But you know what that is? That's just an observation with my eyes. If she said, honey, does this smell too strong? I said, yes or no. Yeah, I'm using my senses. I'm discerning this. Jim Olmstead, 400-pound retired Marine, found him 2 strokes, 4 heart attacks, knee replacement. He's on the mission field going back to the Philippines where his first wife, who raised his boys, was from. He went back, he couldn't be a pastor. He went back to start a mission because he felt just the guilt of how he treated the Filipinos when he was in the Marines. It felt like God put him back in the Philippines to try to reach them with the gospel. And so Jim started going around to churches just presenting the land of the world missions. And he went to a church one day, and this little lady comes up to him. She says, Jim, you have a beautiful voice. Why don't you sing? So he goes down to the Christian bookstore, and he gets those CDs out. He puts it in the CD player, and he finds a couple songs that, you know, he liked. And so he'd go to churches, he'd present his singing ministry. He said, you know, I can sing. Then put a CD in, he'd have He had this ear blown out in Vietnam. And this ear was drastically affected. It had a huge hearing aid in it. And the little old lady that told him he could sing had to have been deaf. I'm not being funny. He couldn't sing a lick. And he asked me. He said, but do you think I should keep singing? I said, no. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, but not in the context of I'm a singer. I mean, there's a difference between being a singer and singing. There's a huge difference. There's a difference between being a preacher and preaching. I mean, women preach. There's a woman up in Greencastle, Pennsylvania, just down the road from us. She hacks when she preaches, but she's not preaching. Jim was a little bit hurt by it, but I think he learned. What's wrong with no discernment? Instead of going to somebody else to get your discernment, listen, they might not be able to hear you.
It's good.
They might not be able to listen. They might not be able to see. Can you imagine riding down the road, losing your vision, saying, honey, you got to take the wheel. I can't see anything. You have to trust her to take the wheel to guide you off the road and stop the car, but you can't see a thing. And you realize the box is blind, leaving the blind, unless they both fall into a ditch. What's happening? People are going to other people just as blind as they are. They're trying to seek wisdom. They're trying to seek counsel. They're trying to find discernment in the wisdom of people that are just as blind as they are.
That's right.
I've seen that in church. People will seek out certain people that are just as carnal as them. They'll try to get their opinion on something. But they won't ask the Bible. The opinion. They don't want the answer. They really don't want to know the truth. The carnal man, the lost man, a natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness to him. But I want to say to you too, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Those of us who are saved, it is the power of God.
Right.
He chooses the foolishness of preaching to save them that will believe. Can I say to you, if you still think foolishness is foolishness and preaching is foolishness, you are lost. Do you want to sugarcoat that? It's just the power of God.
Right.
And people leave the house of God, slammed their preachers and slammed their message and try to tear down little nitpicky things he said. You know why they do that? Trying to justify themselves, because they themselves are carnal.
That's right.
Not spiritual. I've had preachers pull me aside and try to tear down another church member. They were so bitter with me. It's not spiritual.
Right.
I don't want to destroy people. Trying to find favor. Why? Not spiritual.
That's right.
But they can't look in the mirror and listen to what their lips are saying, discern what they're hearing. They can't do.
Oof.
Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Who is spiritual? Who's spiritual? You think you're spiritual? Certainly you're judged of men. Or it's not judged of man. Why is he spiritual? Do you and I get there? I think you could. I say we're a long way off.
Right.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Lord's trying to discern the thoughts and the intents of your heart. But to discern them, you have to agree with him. To agree with him, you got to be honest. I'm not mocking, I'm just being real honest about it. I'm going to be real honest. I saw a fellow the other day. He was dressed in the attire of like a rapper, you know, the long baggy, number 33 over the Raiders jersey, the long baggy shirt, and gold chain, had the dreadlocks. And, you know, he's just tall, skinny guy. He's even like walking like this in the store, you know. And when he talked, he sounded like that one of those idiot rappers that makes the news all the time. They promote him all the time, Snoopy, Charlie Brown's dog or something. And he's trying to talk, and I thought to myself, you foolish man. You're mimicking something you're not, because you think that there's some kind of success in mimicking. And I thought, what an awful position to be, that you cannot look in the mirror and discern that you're a complete fraud, a complete phony. And everybody else sees it, but you can't see it. Why, it's obvious. All week, it's been hot, it's gotten warm up there in Oxford. We had to see women all over the place that think they're skinny. You know why? Because they're, by the way they dress, they think they're skinny. Disgusting. I mean, it should be outlawing skinny women, let alone others. It's disgusting. My wife was at a yard sale yesterday. I was sitting in the van. Two girls walked down the road. They're in bikinis walking down the road.
Can't wait.
Disgusting. It's sickening. But they can't see it. And if I got out of the van and said, hey, you look like just disgusting fat heifer Jezebels, they wouldn't listen. You know why? Because they're not interested in the truth, because they see themselves for more than what they are. When I was a redneck, if you had been in front of me being a redneck, I would knock your lights out. Because I would not see what I was. I didn't want to see me for who I was. So we spend all this time and money and energy trying to pretend like we're something we're not, in hopes that people don't see us for what we really are.
Oh boy.
But we won't look in the mirror and be honest about ourselves. You can't look in the mirror, it sounds wicked as hell. I'm a good person. People love me. People think a lot of me. Oh yeah. Nobody sees me for who I am, but God does. By the way, skinny Jezebel heifers walking down the road in bikinis are just as disgusting. But they're so arrogant, and they're so puffed up, you can't hardly speak to them. Because they think more highly of themselves than what they ought to. And it's no different than anybody else in this world. Right? We think too much about us. Because we cannot discern the things that give God. We can't discern conviction. We can't discern condemnation. We can't discern integrity. We can't discern character. We can't discern honesty. The things that be of God, we have trouble discerning because we will not allow our senses to be touched with reality. I won't eat bad food. Twice. Might even once. If I'm going to spend my money, I won't eat something worthwhile. It's just me. Some of you eating a hog broth wouldn't faze me. I don't want to eat bad food. I'm not going to eat bad food a second time. Why? I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it. Just honest about it. But that was easy to discern. I spit it out. It's disgusting. It's easy to discern. I mean, be honest with you, just real quick, you know, how many of you all had little children or maybe the neighbor, maybe that they sprayed the fields, you know, you're changing that diaper, all that poo in there, and you're like, man, this is really good. I really enjoy this. This is great. No, it's blatant, obvious things. It's disgusting. And each one of our senses is touched by those external things, and everybody else is doing what everybody else is saying, what everybody else is. And we go, you know, I'm so not like that. I'm thankful I'm not like that. But we can't be honest with ourselves and look in the mirror and say, you know what, I'm just as disgusting as that.
Right.
I may hide my rolls of fat under a shirt. I don't go out and mow my grass and shake around for the neighbors to see. I wouldn't do that to my neighbors anyway.
It's good.
But if I'm self-righteous, I'm just as wicked as my neighbor that does it. Into spiritual discernment. The Holy Ghost compares spiritual with spiritual, and God is spiritual. He's comparing things to Him and nothing else. Our opinions are out the door, our thoughts are out the door. But this word will judge all things. Pastor, I think I'm done. Didn't take quite as long as I thought it would. So you want to preach a half hour?